to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
Hi, and welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show right here on the True Talk Radio Network. My name is Howie Silbiger, and you could call in if you want. Number to call, 1-877-669-1292. Okay, so this is the second time I'm starting the show. The first time we had a sound problem. Nobody was able to hear me. But now the sound is working, and I'm happy that it is. You know, sometimes technology on live radio, sometimes technology doesn't work as well as you hoped it would. But I'm glad to be back. So it's been a while since I've done a show. Some personal stuff in life has gotten in the way of me being in the studio and being able to do a show. But thank God I'm here tonight, and I am ready to talk to you. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call. 1-877-669-1292. So there's a major election in Canada this week. And just before the election, I had gotten on here, and I had endorsed the Conservative Party and encouraged the listenership of this show to vote Conservative. Now, this is the first time in 30 years that I've been doing this show that I've ever endorsed a political party. Normally, I stay neutral. We've hosted many federal election debates on the show, and I generally stay neutral when it comes to federal politics, provincial politics, even local politics. I hardly ever endorse anything or anybody. But in this case here, this is a very important election. I felt it was important for me to stand up and to endorse the Conservatives. Now, I'll tell you why. For the last years, 9 years of Liberal governorship, we've seen a rise in Jew hatred across the country. Canada used to be a really nice place to live. It used to be a place that you'd want to live, that Jews would flock to. Even though Canada's official policy in 1948, when they could have saved Jews from the Holocaust, was one is too many. Since then, the attitude of Canadians has always been welcoming, and Jews have lived a really nice life in Canada. Now, of course, as is always the case, where Jews go and live, sometimes they outlive their welcome. Sometimes they're not welcomed. Or they've stayed too long. It's like a guest that comes to your house and never wants to leave. And so I think we're at that point where the general population is starting to tire of this Jewish population that's living amongst them. And the reason I say that is because of the crazy rise in Jew hatred that we've seen across the country. Now, the excuse that's being used, and it's always the excuse, is that Israel are Nazis, or Israel are committing a genocide, or whatever baloney you want to believe, whatever baloney they want to say. And that's generally the idea behind the mask of the Jew hatred that we tend to see in this country, is that people are saying, I'm not anti-Jewish, I'm anti-Israel. The two aren't mutually exclusive, but they're not so far apart. A lot of the anti-Israel rhetoric that we hear is anti-Jewish rhetoric disguised as anti-Israel rhetoric. When they say and they yell in the streets that Hitler didn't finish his job, that has nothing to do with Israel. When they yell that that Jews kill Christian babies, that has nothing to do with Israel. When they yell out with the Jews or Jews will not replace us, that has nothing to do with Israel. When they yell from the river to the sea, that has everything to do with Israel. When they yell globalized intifada, that has nothing to do with Israel. Because globalized intifada means killing Jews indiscriminately globally. So that refers to Jews outside of Israel. That is a call to murder Jews. And we hear that a lot, unfortunately. And the last Conservative government under Justin Trudeau did very little to stop that kind of hatred. If the KKK were standing in the middle of the street yelling, let's string up some blacks, I guarantee the Liberal government would have jumped and done everything in their power, put as many resources as possible to stop the scourge of white nationalism that would have been rising in Canada. I could almost guarantee that if it was a mosque or if it was a church that was shot up, a black church, okay, let's say a black church shot up by white supremacists wearing white hoods, I guarantee that the police would have taken it a lot more seriously than they took when two Jewish schools were shot, and one shot twice in 4 days. I could guarantee that there would be much more outrage at people yelling, kill the blacks, than there has been at people yelling, kill the Jews in the street. And to me, that is a very sad commentary, because in Canada, a lot of people take pride in being a human rights activist and standing up for the rights of the little man, of protecting the minorities. And that works with everyone except for the Jewish population. And so the Jews of Canada are in an extremely precarious situation. What do you do? Where do you go from here? And so in my view, voting for the Conservatives was the only thing the Jewish population could do to protect themselves from the government that was really not concerned with the hatred that's been expressed towards them, with a government that really didn't care. They have their token Jews in their caucus who'll get up and say, I stand for Israel, but really do nothing. And to me, that was not enough. To me, that was really not enough. We needed more than that. And we still need more than that. But now we're in a situation. Mark Carney, the newly minted prime minister, the appointed prime minister of Canada, and I know we just went through an election, but he was appointed prime minister before the election. Mark Carney, the prime minister of Canada, has pledged to send $100 million to Hamas. Now, you have to understand, Hamas is the organization that attacked Jews in a genocidal attack on October 7th, a couple of years ago. Hamas is the organization that took hostages and are still holding Jewish hostages in underground terror tunnels in Gaza. And they're being rewarded by the Canadian government. They're given money by the Canadian government, aid money, they call it. But it's only going to aid Hamas in rearming themselves and attacking Israel and killing more Jews indiscriminately, in paying their splinter cells that are outside of Israel and outside of the Middle East to attack Jews globally. That's all they're going to accomplish. You see, Hamas has become the new PLO. Now, while the PLO was really active and big in the 1970s and 80s, late 60s, 70s and 80s, and committed many, many terrorist attacks against everyone, from French citizens to Americans to Canadians to Israelis, they were sort of legitimized by Yitzhak Rabin and Bill Clinton. And so they had to tone down their terror support, although they still funded terror, still organized terror attacks, and still supported the movement to kill Jews. They had to kind of tone it down a little bit. So Hamas came up out of nowhere. Well, they came up out of the void that was created by the PLO. And now they are the new PLO. They're the ones who want to commit terror attacks. They're the ones who want to kill Jews. They're the ones who want to eradicate the Jewish population from the Middle East. They want to take the Jews and they want to wipe them out of the Middle East. And they almost succeeded. On October 7th, they killed thousands of Jews with no mercy whatsoever, killing children in front of their parents and parents in front of their children, raping dead bodies, decapitating people, cutting their genitals off. Really disgusting stuff. And if you don't believe it, there is video that Hamas themselves took that proves it all. So anyone denying it, anyone still denying it so just this many years later, really needs to seek some medical attention. But here we are, another election. And so, look, I recently ran in an election. It wasn't that long ago that I ran in the school board election. And when I decided to run in the school board election, I knew immediately two things would happen. Number one, I knew that there would be some kind of contentious race with me. And number two, I knew that you know, there were people that were not happy that I was going to run, and people that were going to do everything in their power to try to sully my name. And so the first thing that happened when I declared my candidacy was that there was a school board commissioner, who was debating whether she was going to run again or not, who decided to approach the leader of the party that I was running for. And she told the leader of the party that I wasn't the right kind of Jew to run for this seat. I wasn't the right kind of Jew. Now, I took extreme offense to that. What do you mean by the right kind of Jew? I don't have horns? What's the right kind of Jew? I'm too religious? I wear a yarmulke? I wear a kippah? What's the problem? What kind of right kind of Jew is there? Either you're Jewish or you're not Jewish. You know, whether I'm religious or not religious, whether I'm practicing or not practicing, whether I wear a kippah or I don't wear a kippah, the Jew hater is still going to hate me. There is no difference between a Jew hater who hates somebody who's religious, who's obviously religious, and somebody who's not religious. There's no difference in the hatred. If you're Jewish, they hate you. Hitler proved that, didn't he? Didn't Hitler prove that no matter what your affiliation of Judaism is, you're still going to the ovens of Auschwitz? I think Hitler was pretty clear on that. And Jew haters have followed that lead from the get-go. They've followed that lead since the Holocaust. So I'm fairly sure that no matter what kind of Jew I wasn't going to be loved by many people. I was fine with that. But I didn't realize when I took the candidacy, when I accepted to run as a school board commissioner, and I don't think anybody on my team actually realized it, was that the people who were there, the people who were trying to get reelected, were petty, irrational people. And it seems weird because the school board commissioner position pays around $5,000 a year. And I couldn't understand why people were fighting so hard and fighting so dirty to win an election that pays so little. There's a lot of work involved, but it pays so little. So why would people be so gung-ho and so underlies that empty that they need this affirmation that they're worth something? Do they care that deeply about education that they're willing to sacrifice weeks and weeks of their time in order to help the school board, you know, further its goals? And then I realized that, no, it has nothing to do with that. Many of the people who are sitting on the school board have other political ambitions. They don't want to be school board commissioners. They want to be MPs or MNAs. They want to move on to other higher political goals. And this was a way for them to get their name out there in the public. And once I realized that, and I knew that I was running, I didn't really care too much about getting my name out in the public. I'm already a public figure. And it didn't really bother me. I wasn't really interested in becoming a MNA or an MP or running for parliament or anything. I'm not interested in politics and in that kind of politics. And I was running, actually, to try to help the school board, to try to help the kids in the school board, and to try to better the education in their school. I had a lot of experience in that, in writing curriculum, in working with people, in looking at the way things are run in a school or in a school board or in multiple schools, and seeing the flaws and working with committees. And I've had a lot of experience in that. And everyone could tell me how you don't, well, the opponents kept telling me how you don't understand what school boards are. I understand exactly what they are. And now I understand them a lot better. I understand that school boards are political animals that don't really have much to do with education. I understand that the people running, the people sitting in the school boards, particularly the English Montreal School Board, are not very nice people. I've seen the way they handled themselves. I see the way they've treated other candidates that ran against them. And I see the way I've been treated by some of the commissioners. The first day that I put my posters up, Nobody else had posters up. I was the first one to put my posters up in my riding. It was only me and another candidate. And then the second day when the other candidate put up their posters, they accused me of tampering with their posters. They put up pictures which were falsified. They lied about me tampering with it just to sully my name. And then when I retaliated, they cried victim, which they're still crying to today. So the election's been over since November, but they're still crying victim today. It's kind of funny when you think about it. But they're still crying that I'm harassing them, that they're victim, and I'm a crazy middle-aged guy chasing them with a camera. None of it's true. It's all delusional. But they're still going with this. Because they're petty people. That's what it is. But I'm fine with that. They could be petty all they want. The candidate who ran against me works for MP Anthony Housefather. And during a public appearance, that person acted like an idiot. And it was totally idiotic what they did. And they put up their middle fingers. And a picture was snapped of them. Well, a video was snapped of them. And a screenshot of the video was taken. And I shared that screenshot along with a lot of other people and some bloggers and a bunch of other people. We all shared that screenshot and said, is this the kind of person that should be working in politics? Is this the kind of person that you would trust in a constituency office? She runs MP Anthony Housefather's constituency office. But look at her, just the way she acts in public. It was a legitimate thing. And then I got attacked for posting it saying that I'm harassing her and that I'm chasing her around with a camera. I mean, some crazy lunatics accusing me of crimes that are not even remotely true. I didn't even take the picture. I wasn't even there when the picture was taken. I wasn't there when the video was taken. Yet I was accused of harassing her. And then, you know, everyone jumps on the bandwagon. Of course, social media is like that. And then suddenly I became the big villain, but really I didn't do anything except for post a picture of somebody working in the political office who acted like an idiot, which is fair political game during an election when you're the campaign manager and a constituency office operations director. I think it's fair game. But apparently I might be the only one who thinks that on social media, but that's fine. Look, I have wide shoulders. I don't care what people think of me. I got a threat the other day. I got an email and a message threat saying that someone was going to destroy me and destroy my career. They were going to shut me down. Go ahead. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. I don't think it's going to happen, but enjoy yourself. I get letters all the time, by the way, to True Talk Radio. We get emails all the time. Thing. You have to get him off the air. How could you let Howie Silberger have a show? And I read those letters and I laugh. I read the emails and I laugh. I own True Talk Radio. It belongs to me. So I get to choose what goes on the radio station and what doesn't go on the radio station. I get to choose who runs this logo, the one right behind me. Who runs that logo? That's my choice. So I could sit here all day and all night and talk if I want. And there's nobody that's going to stop me because I pay the bills. I'm the owner. So you don't like that. You don't have to watch. You don't have to listen. And you don't have to follow me on social media. And you don't have to read what I write. And you don't have to pay any attention to me at all. But I thank God every single day that I live in a country which allows me to express my opinion without getting a gun to my face or being harassed for it. I thank God I live in a country where I'm able to criticize people and talk about issues without being arrested. And I thank God I live in a country where I am free, if I choose to run for politics or any political office and criticize my opponents in any way I feel is appropriate. The same way they could attack me in any way they feel is appropriate. And there are no repercussions because that's fair political game. I thank God I live in a country of freedoms. Not everyone does. So people who are petty and people who are narcissistic, they may not like it, but that's life. I don't care. And that's the honest truth. I'm only talking about it now because I think I should make it public. I think I should express my point of view. But I really don't care what people think of me. You don't like me. You don't have to watch. You don't have to listen. You don't have to read. You don't have to write. You don't have to be part of my life. You don't have to be any part. You don't have to be any part of this. You could just turn it off. And I'm fine with that too. Now, I do hope that the new Liberal government will be better to the Jews than the old Liberal government. I do hope that the Jewish community will see a decrease in Jew hatred across the country and a government who cares to protect the Jewish population. I do hope that Jews will be able to walk around freely and be able to live freely as Jews in Canada without facing threats and intimidation from others. I do hope that one day the Liberals will see that the Jewish community is a valuable asset in this country. And I do hope also that one day the Jews will see that perhaps our time is up in Canada, in the United States. Look, it was up probably in 1948 when the Mackenzie King government said one is too many when asked how many Jewish refugees were going to come to Canada. I think our time in Canada was up then, and there were no Jews in Canada, or very few Jews in Canada. So knowing that Canada wasn't really so gung-ho about bringing in refugee Jews, knowing that the Canadians have been overly vocal in their Jew hatred over the last couple of years, and the Canadian government has not stepped up to the plate to try to curb the Jew hatred, knowing all this, the Jewish community is at a crossroads. They have to make a decision. What to do, what to do? Do we continue as status quo and allow Jew hatred to continue being manifested right across the city, across the country? Or do we step up and take back the roads, as they say, and be a visible presence on the street? So I thought that the Yom HaAtzmaut, the Israel Independence Day celebration that's held every year in downtown Montreal, would be a perfect opportunity for Jews to say, we're not scared. We're going to be standing here downtown, and we're going to say that we are reclaiming the land that were taken by the Jew haters, reclaiming the land for the people who were marching down the street yelling, globalize the Intifada, threatening to kill us. We are here. We are proud. We are not going away. Unfortunately, the organizers of the Israel Day celebration decided to move it to the Jewish neighborhood. Go to the safe zone, just like Federation always does. Now, I haven't criticized Federation in a long time, so you gotta give me this one. Anytime the Jews have a rally, anytime the Jews have something to say, anytime the Jews want to stand up and declare their independence, declare their freedom, declare their rights to anything, they do it inside a closed building with armed guards. I saw signs up around the park that they're going to have the Israel Independence Rally, the first one held not in downtown Montreal since its inception. And they're warning that they're closing the streets around the park for the time of the rally. Now, I have no issue with security closing the streets. I have no issue with people being safe. We saw what happened at the Filipino celebration in Vancouver. We don't want a repeat of that anywhere else. But why can't they do that in downtown Montreal? I guarantee the Jew haters are going to show up screaming and yelling. The Israel, anti-Israel people will be there. So what's the difference if they're there in Snowden or if they're in Montreal proper, downtown? All you're doing, the organizers of this event, are showing the enemy that we're afraid of them. Sending the signal that Jews are afraid to go downtown, Jews are afraid to rally in the streets. Now, if that's the truth, then you're sending the right message. But that should never be the truth. Jews should never be afraid to go anywhere to where they live. They shouldn't be afraid to be Jewish, to be pro-Israel, to be proud of it. Jews should never be afraid. Which brings me to the next thing. Why are Jews so wimpy? Why are we always afraid? And it goes back to my experience running for the school board. I spoke to a couple of the other candidates that were running in the same party that I was running in. And we all lost. Our party got swept. Nobody in our party won a seat, which is fine. I mean, that's politics. That happens. And I was speaking to one of the other people who were telling me that till today, that person is being harassed by the person that they ran against. Not harassed on a harassment level, on the same level as someone stalking you. That's not the kind of harassment I'm talking about. But threatened occasionally that if they say something, if they do something, if they go somewhere, if they make a public appearance, that their children or their husbands or their wives will be the target of a smear campaign. This is for a $5,000 job? Really? Should have just been fun election? It's mind-boggling, really. I can imagine what happens in the bigger leagues when people decide that they are better than you are and they're going to go after you. You can only imagine. Anyway, that's it for me. I thank you for listening, and I'm sorry about the technical issues we had at the beginning of the show, in the other stream. But thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. I will see you next time on the Howie Silver Show.